Oh, hi, I didn't see you there.
I didn't see you come in. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Family 2C, a mile above peak level at Astroplane Studios. We twist your pineal gland by squeegeeing your third eye with psychedelic mycelium. This alters your consciousness to a trippy and deep-fried 25 degrees lysergic to keep a sin flood of ego out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Do you need more vitamin
my
C?
My pineal gland. It's pineal.
Pineal.
I think when you go to the strip tonight, you should ask for a pizza with pine and pineal.
And of course, the Freedom Fiends is covered by BIPCOT, no government license. It allows use by anyone except governments. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org, which actually technically it's state governments, right?
It's all governments. There are no non. Don't start that again. Isn't shooting pineal gland extract something that Bill Clinton and all the other elites do on Child Rape Island where they go vacation? I heard that somewhere. I don't think it's true, but it could be.
Isn't that the Bohemian Grove thing that everyone's freaking out about? I don't know.
Bulk me up, Grove. Yeah, human pineal growth hormone in the woods.
Yeah. Adult molestation
injected into your third eye, and then they wipe your memory like the Men in Black when you're done.
Yeah. Speaking of terrible government, I had I guess it's not a pre-order; it's an actual order. I got the shipment for it, but by the way,
shipment. Can you say that on air? Speaking of which, you know what I was doing up until 2 seconds before we went on was. You know that ad we made tonight that we can't speak about for that thing that's going to happen Sunday?
I don't know
Sunday,
what you're talking about.
That everyone should stay home Sunday for. And I'm not saying, like, stay home Sunday, like it'll be dangerous outside. I'm saying, like, stay home Sunday because something good is probably going to happen. You're going to want to be in on the ground floor on the interwebs on Sunday. So, but that thing, I was making that, and I listened to it. And I'm glad that I was listening to it while you were doing your kitchen tasks or whatever, and singing from Pirates of Penzance in your kitchen. I heard you, and I didn't see you there. I was just
I didn't see you come in.
I'm just a modern schoolgirl. So I was listening to that thing, and I'm glad, first of all, that I made it a little extra trebly because it makes it easier to understand that I'm saying the one thing and not the other thing. But there was one part where I said that we now take blank for stickers and buttons, but it sounded like I take it in the other way, the old way. So I had to like find one place I said it and then cut it in, and it was hard because it was one of those like I didn't really the part I cut from was distinct, but the part I was cutting into kind of ran into the next word. But I made it work because I'm just that good.
Yeah, the other way is a lot funner. Maybe not for them, but for you, indeed.
All will be revealed on Sunday, probably.
Yeah.
Not a guarantee.
So, not a guarantee.
Say it, Jim. Say it again.
Not a guarantee. You should just play that MP3 or just keep repeating it over and over again.
I should just play it on radio for 2 hours if I ever don't have a host.
Yeah, I wish I could get this book that I ordered with whatever this thing we're not talking about.
Oh yeah,
but we can't. So, but I ordered Ben Stone's new book that just dropped. Was it Sunday? Was it yesterday that it dropped?
Yeah. Well, I know that Derek Slopey, coming back from Jackfest that we're going to talk about tonight more.
Cool dude.
Yeah, very cool dude. He stopped at Ben's on the way. It was really funny because he was like all these people were posting on Facebeast, like, oh, you guys, yeah, stop in and see me. You know, I'm in Casper. I'm in Albuquerque. I'm in Houston. Like, no, look at a map and remember again that he said he has to be to work on Monday. And he's driving a full-size ambulance, pulling a trailer, and he has his wife, his two kids, his buddy, and a dog, and like a quarter ton of electronic equipment, and the trailer hitch broke in
it broke
in New Hampshire, and they got some free state friend of theirs to drive out and weld it for them. That's cool. That's anarchy.
They were also they also got stuck in the mud when they came out. Like the first thing they did was get stuck in the mud at Jackfest, and they had to pull them out because it was almost like silt.
I mean, not nice.
It was like clay. But, no, yeah. it was nice to watch. It was nice to watch them
getting out of the mud. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, they also brought a little sample copy, I don't know, or proof of concept of Ben Stone's book, which looks amazing. It's about how you can dismantle the state. I guess it's almost kind of like a condensed version. I don't know. I haven't read it yet because I'm still waiting for it to come. But I guess it's supposed to be like Moulin Labe's. Is that supposed to be like a condensed version of that, or is it something
Moulin Labe is a fiction work with sort of a how-to... hidden in it as a dog whistle, a bunch of how-tos. I think Ben's is just throws away the dog whistles and just does the how-to. Okay. And Ben, actually, he's sending me one. Oh, anyway, I was going to say, Derek got an actual copy of it when he stopped at Ben's.
Right, so, and it was in the raffle at Jackfest.
Yeah.
So
I think what they raffled was a proof, but Ben actually has the books, and he's selling a bunch of them because there's like Ben has hardcore fans, man, and Ben has kind of disappeared from doing live radio and even doing recorded podcasts because I don't know, it's something with his brain, but I guess his brain works in book writing. Book writing is a whole different deal because it's there's a guy in my movie DIY or Die: How to Survive as an Independent Artist. Bingo. It should be on the bingo. It should just be Michael's movies instead of Selby. Who are you talking to? What are you doing?
No, I was talking to my bingo card. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah. My shoes are done.
Where's my dauber?
You ever see The Simpsons where they go to Homer Palooza and Peter Frampton's playing Do You Feel Like We Do? And someone goes, one of the bullies goes, hey, man, that dude's guitar is talking. And then Otto, the bus driver, is tripping, I guess, and he looks at his shoes and says, that's nothing, man. My shoes are talking. And they're like, and the only thing I've ever seen edited from a Simpsons is that. Like, I just think it was too much that the guy driving the kids in the bus takes acid. Like, it's okay that he smokes pot all the time, but... Yeah,
they had an episode where Homer was smoking weed and he became Otto's best friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Yeah. But the thing about writing, this guy Steve Elliott, who's a writer who's in that movie of mine, said something I really like a lot. He said, writing... comes from the desire to speak to people and be alone at the same time. Which is kind of like solo podcasting in a way, I would imagine. I've never really done, I don't think, I've done like, there've been like almost 1,000 Fiends episodes. I've been on probably all of them except 80 of them. I've done a bunch, I did the kittyfeet.com Anarchy Gumbo podcast. I did a podcast with my wife before that. I did something called Clone the Homeless that I did 50 episodes of. I think I did a couple other podcasts for a minute. So I've probably done like 2,000 podcasts in my life, and they all have good audio. But I don't think I ever did a solo one. Oh, I guess I did some audio books of a couple books I wrote. So yeah, that's sort of like that. But that's reading something,
Yeah, I had a Blog Talk Radio, which I have erased all evidence of, except for me admitting it just now.
Really? Really? Yeah. I'm going to go look for that right now on the Wayback
Machine. It's gone. It's gone. Yeah, I don't think they have. Okay. Yeah. Anyways, I haven't done that in a while. And I haven't even had my co-host drop off, knock on wood, where I had to fill in the blank until they until so anyways, so I'm really interested in getting this book. I pre-ordered it. He gave me a tracking number that doesn't work.
Yeah, I got one too. It does work. Well, USPS, like UPS and FedEx tracking numbers work to the minute. Like, I've actually woken up when I'm expecting something, like wake up in the afternoon early, for me, 1 in the afternoon, like I search the thing and it's like, delivered at left at doorstep, and it has a time, and I look at the time and it's like 2 minutes before the time I just logged on the computer, and like I go out there and it's there. Like the post office one, though, it's usually a day or two behind, and the estimated date of delivery is sometimes a couple days off, and after it's delivered, sometimes it doesn't say it's delivered for like a day. It's all it's good for is if something gets lost, trying to, you know, prove to the person who sent it got lost.
Because every time I send out stuff, because I sell stuff, by the way, Lulberts.com, LibertariansAgainstHumanity.com.
Yeah, check it out. Good stuff.
Yeah. And every time I send stuff out, I always scan it with my app, and I have like a little package app, and I scan the barcode to get the tracking number off of it. I don't send it to them because I'm lazy, but I have it, so yeah, I know me when too. So
I'm sure full okay. of those.
And it's always really kind of responsive. Even using the self service kiosk, it's been pretty good. But yeah, I don't know. I'm really looking forward to reading it. I have a copy of Kokesh's book, and I've just been like trying to force myself to read it because I'm just like, I really can't be bothered. Kind of reading 101 stuff, but whatever.
Yeah.
So Jackfest. I guess everybody Jackalope was talking
Freedom
about
Festival. It's better than Porcupine Freedom Fest. It's far better than Pork Fest.
And it's spontaneously organized. It's you show up in the woods and everybody else comes.
And nobody's banned.
Yeah.
He who cannot be named could even go and probably be a good time. And they really don't throw you out unless they really have to throw you out, and they really had to throw someone out, and it involved duct taping and hog tying him and delivering him to the state. We're going to talk about that a lot in the second after this, but tell me a little more about Jack Fest.
I wasn't there when that happened, like right after we left, but we got to see like some of the catalyst for it. But
it's your fault. You built that.
I halfway built that. We'll talk about that.
No, we won't. Not about that. We'll just say it now.
Anyway,
people can wonder what it means when we talk about how he was on something.
Yeah. I had so much fun there. I got to meet. I met actually some YouTube. Met a YouTuber that I watched on.
You met some you potatoes.
YouTuber.
I've always had a problem with that word. Like even when I was writing that book, helping co-write that book with some YouTube star called YouTube, an insider's guide to climbing the charts. Bingo. And it, like YouTuber, like I kept trying to work with him and this was like way early on in YouTube. And I was trying to work with like him and my editor, come up with a better word. I hated YouTuber. It's like you potato. It's kind of fitting though. I mean, you know, if you're sitting in front of a screen all day making videos,
some of those
you
people
potato.
A lot of those people are potatoes, especially the really popular ones.
Yeah. And they're not necessarily fat. They're just potatoes.
That's their favorite color.
Potato. Because potato.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free Android app for your phone, tablet, phablet, or other Chrome robot turd. The app is available now from the Google Play Store, from Amazon, and from freedomfiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode feature, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world. But when the fiends aren't live, you can also use the app to listen to LRN.fm from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for lip there with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms.
This is a drunken found alert. If you lost a USB house key, come to Lefty's tent. We'll get that right to you.
Don't eat that brown Bitcoin. Don't accept the brown Bitcoin.
We're going to take him back, man, and give him some vitamin C. He'll be all right, okay?
It's
just come
B12.
By in the morning. Yeah.
It's vitamin C for Bitcoin, but go on.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as Bitcoin. Hey, can I get Bitcoin on my Fiend phone? You've got Fiend phone in my Bitcoin. I'm melting. Sorry, go ahead.
I was really tempted to get like just the blotter artwork. There's no drugs on it. Just the blotter artwork of Bitcoin and just send it to people. Like when they order stuff, you know, they'll try to dose on it and just nothing happens.
But, yeah, I didn't want anything to do with that. You wanted to send me some of that, and I'm like,
and then I was like,
people get arrested for that. It's actually considered paraphernalia. I mean, you could probably hire a lawyer and not go to prison, but you got to hire a lawyer and maybe spend some time in jail. Who wants to do that for art?
Yeah, and I know that when it came from whatever address it is, I'm going to be on some sort of watch list.
A couple tiers up from the watch list you're already on for being on this show and such.
Yeah, so I passed on that. Well, even though I thought it would be funny.
Starting Sunday, everyone is going to go on another list at a higher level. I'm going to help get you there, people. In a good way. It's a good thing. Yep. It's legal, sort of, maybe.
Yeah, and you'll get stickers and jerky. By the way, I have a recipe
stickers and jerky. What's that?
I have a recipe. No, I have a jerky recipe that you can use for yak, too, so. Nick, call me. Anyway, so Jackfest.
Show me on the doll where Gandalf touched you.
All right, so happened was we had our own little kind of camp going on. At the guy who had his little fire pit and free wood for everybody was a guy named Lefty. And he was not a lefty. It was just his nickname.
Is he communist? Or is he left-handed?
No. I think he was left-handed. Anyways, a really cool guy. And one of the people there was a guy we nicknamed Gandalf because he had a big walking stick. And he would walk everywhere with his dog, Wego. And which is kind of funny if you hear someone yelling Wego. That's also an inside joke, too. But in regards to this, so apparently he got a hold of some a combination of psychedelics. Allegedly, we're not sure, this Gandalf fellow. And he
was drunk on God.
Yeah, he may have been drinking on top of it, so that's usually not a good thing.
I think he was a government plant, but I'm burying the lead.
No, he's a really cool guy. He really was. Anyway,
most government plants aren't really cops. They're people who are cool, who were busted, and have to go do horrible things like raise hell and make all the anarchists at the anarcho nobody in charge event start to say, wait, I think we need someone to deal with this situation. We didn't plan for this. Let's take a vote. But go on.
Anyways, allegedly, that's what had happened. And so Adam Kokesh was given a speech talking about how he's terrified of giving speeches while giving a speech. And of course, our buddy.
He's Mr. Shy.
Yeah, our buddy showed up and was like laughing and, you know, kind of interrupting his speech. You know, he thought it was funny, but everyone was just like, okay, Gandalf, come on.
The future president of anarchy is speaking. Shut up.
Yeah. So we escorted him back to Lefty's camp, and you know he could still hear him screaming, "We go," which is the name of his dog. Yeah, we go, we go. And, you know, like it just kind of ruined his speech, but it was kind of funny at the same time.
Nice.
It made standing next to Mark Stevens more tolerable. Anyway,
wow.
So. So we packed up our camp. I think it was that night or that afternoon or maybe it was the next day. I forget. And he was going all day. And after we left, there was some talk that Gandalf, I guess, started getting worse and was going from just yelling funny things and walking around in the woods aimlessly to attacking Lefty. And it took
Lefty.
Yeah, not Lefty. Oh, not Lefty.
I already like Lefty so much from this story. Yeah. I really do. I know.
Like, he's a really cool guy. Yeah. Really sarcastic, funny guy. And then so it took the community, I guess, to tackle him. And
it takes a village to tackle a tripping, violent hippie.
Yeah. And they hogtied him, and he broke out of the hogtie, and they ended up tying him to a tree. And it kind of presented an interesting kind of question, like if, you know, in a place
without the government, who would tie up the Gandalfs? Now, I have no problem with this happening. I just think it's kind of interesting. I want to talk and get back about the like ramifications of insta-government that happens and then dissolves. Or not government, but force. A force of force, like a police force.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Is spreading the message of liberty and peace around the globe worth 15 cents per day to you? As you may already know, in addition to our internet feed, LRN.FM broadcasts on free-to-air satellite across North and Central America, as well as Sub-Saharan Africa. Last year, we did a fundraiser that successfully covered the cost of continuing our African channel. This year, we're hoping to raise enough to fund a new satellite signal that will cover Europe, North Africa, and much of the Middle East. You can donate as much or as little as you like via the Indiegogo campaign at fund.lrn.fm. And there are perks available like sitting in on your favorite LRN.fm show, exclusive shiny badges, or even naming a satellite channel. Please contribute now at fund.lrn.fm and help us continue our satellite broadcast to multiple continents. The fundraiser ends August 19th, so please visit fund.lrn.fm today and thank you for your help. That's fund.lrn.fm.
Man, don't tell me when I have to do radio.
I know.
Don't tell me.
Radio's so square. I mean, I love it, but it tells you what. I mean, we have atomic clocks that are to the second.
Yeah, I should probably take a look at that and see what's wrong with it.
Yeah.
She's still jumping around. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyways. So the big question is, without the government, who would hogtie the Gandalfs? that was brilliant, by the way.
Did you come up with that, or did I? I don't even remember.
No, that was you. That's all you, man.
You can have that one.
Yeah, you can have that one.
You found a picture of Gandalf blotter acid that we're going to use as the show image.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it kind of allegedly. Raises an interesting question. Yeah, allegedly. If allegedly someone did something, would there allegedly be an instant government that forms to solve a problem and then dissolve immediately after the problem is taken care of?
That's
the big question. Actually, no. I think in a libertarian social order, there will actually be institutions which you would not call governments, but I would say that they are polycentric governments, which would be more than one.
Interesting thing is, like, okay, the discussions of how things would work without a government, like, I hear this all the time, and it generally turns me off. And it's what a lot of talking about libertarianism is, especially from newly minted libertarians, and especially from libtubers, mm-hmm. You know, the ones that just live on the internet and just talk like you've never been to a libertarian event, like you were until recently. Well, actually, no, you got tired of waiting around for one, and you started your own beer hall pooch every month. But that's cool. So
yeah.
But the thing that's, I actually like this discussion. I heard Ernie and Drew Phillips talked about it for about 2 hours. And I felt like I was there. Like, they talked about the whole thing, what people did, how problems were solved, how he became the sheriff reluctantly. And then the thing is, though, with something like this, too, it's kind of ad hoc. Like, the sheriffness dissolves as soon as the party's over. You know, it doesn't carry on and become an institution that kills people all the time. So I'm actually interested. I'm not that interested in discussions, because they seem so academic and so pedantic, of like how things would work in libertarian paradise without the government. But
here's how it
actually happened. Go ahead.
Yeah. So this is also an interesting one, because it's not like who will build the roads, man. Like, things that have been well tread over and over and over and over. This is something that's kind of new. Like, what if someone does a hippie flip and and freaks out on lefty? I mean, that's a very kind of isolated thing. It probably may not happen. It may happen. You know, drugs affect people in different ways. So how would this happen if someone freaks out and attacks someone while they're on drugs and, you know, they're what is it? Sex nuts and retard strong. and, you know, breaks it loose of a hog tie. But yeah, that's kind of interesting. I would be very interesting if I was there, and I actually know how to deal with people who have cognitive dysfunctions, even temporarily, you know, and how to talk to them and calm them down and de-escalate the situation. But I wasn't there, so yeah. So I guess the answer is tie them to a tree and wait and hand them over to an actual government. I don't think that's gonna help.
That sounds so harsh, man.
Yeah.
But before we call that way too harsh, man, tell me a little bit more about, like, really what this guy was doing and why you couldn't just say, get out of here, man, or just go over there and sit, you know. Also, he hadn't had water or food in about 24 hours, and they were trying to give him water. And I was trying to picture, like, you know, what do you do when somebody that you're sort of suddenly in charge of is dehydrated in the high desert and needs water and is flipping out? I mean, basically, the only thing I can think of is force them to drink water. So you've come to a whole other level. And now we're waterboarding Gandalf. That's how he'd see it, you know?
Who will waterboard and hog tie the Gandalf?
Who will Okay, Scott, you can add that in. Who will hog tie and waterboard without the government? Who will waterboard? Who will hog tie and waterboard the Gandalfs? Yeah, yes. There you go. Long but good.
Yeah, I don't know. It's really just a quick correction. It wasn't in the high desert. It actually is in the woods, and it was raining most of the time.
But it was hot. I mean, wasn't it?
Not really. It was sunny. It got really. I think the highest it got, it was somewhere in the mid-80s. But, you know, I got sunburned, but it wasn't because of the heat. It was because of a lot of the direct sun. And it got to the point where I was kind of burnt so bad I was standing in the shade. And there was lots of shade.
Cool.
Lots of trees. And it was so much fun. By the way, you should go next year and bring your oxygen tubes.
Really long. I'll need them. That's a higher altitude than where I live, and I'm a mile up.
Yeah. But yeah, it raises an interesting question, you know. And then the other thing was, there was a rave that happened in the part of the camp that was known to be the quiet area of the camp, because we were kind of the more rambunctious one. We had the camp that was going all night long and people talking all night long.
Gandalf meet baby all night long.
And ew. The other side was supposed to be the quiet area where the Ernie's geodesic domes were. That was supposed to be the quiet area. Well, this year, one of the tribe, the Indian, the Navajopi, or it's a Navajo and Hopi guys came out and was cooking.
Have a beer with Navajo tacos. Navajopi.
The Navajo tacos were great, by the way.
Navajopi.
But one of the people that was with that kind of group had their own rave, and it was going from noon to 6 o'clock in the morning every night, and that base traveled throughout the whole entire area.
Wow.
So the question is, what do you do when, I guess it's a violation of the non-aggression principle, right? Because you're sending sound waves across people's borders.
Even that's a wobbler right there. Yeah. That's a wobbler. You know, there's a thing I really like. Ron White is pretty funny comedian, but he can be really statist. But when he's not really statist, he's almost libertarian. If that's a thing, he's, you know, given what he's got, he's doing a lot with it towards being a libertarian. He doesn't
got
like
statism and statism light.
Yeah, yeah. But he talks about this when he lived in, I think it was Houston. He said that there was a paper factory there that smelled like, you know, wet rats, the way paper factories do. They smell horrible. And he said that, like, when the wind was just right, 750,000 people could smell this paper factory. And he said, if it were a sound, they'd make them turn it down. If 750,000 people could hear it loud, you know, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they ended up, everybody got together, all the parties involved and everybody else around, and they all decided it would be the best to everybody get together and help this person move out of the noise infected area, because there was only one person that was complaining. Nice lady, though, but, you know, she didn't expect it. She went over there specifically because it was quiet and it turned out to be the loudest part and so they moved them off site almost a little bit, but everybody was happy. And it kind of was like, what do you do without a government? Ask Ernie Hancock.
Yeah.
That was the solution. It seemed like, which I don't know. I think he should take a step back, because everybody's going to start thinking he's organizing the thing, which he's not. Jack is. And I don't know Jack. You don't know Jack either.
That's the joke. Jack doesn't exist. It's Jack Fest, yeah. Jack Lowe Freedom Fest. I don't know Jack. Who's in charge? Jack. Where's Jack? I don't know. I don't know Jack.
I don't know. I think he was here earlier. I don't know.
Yeah, that's probably funny the first 40 times.
Yeah. But, you know, for a lot of the first timers got a giggle out of it. I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what would you do without a government? Yeah, hog tie people and move their campsite.
That sounds horrible. That sounds like, did you explain yet that people, instead of doing anything about the noise and making them turn it down, you moved your campsites further away from it?
Yeah, we helped them move. Well, I didn't help them. I watched.
Yeah, Ernie said there was some young lady who wanted to be moved, and all of a sudden there were like 10 strong young men helping her move. Mm-hmm. And I was like, they wouldn't help me move, and I'm sick. You know, like, yeah. Young men are so dumb, young, and full of bum. It's just, it's disgusting to me. I was never like that, too. I never,
She was not, was, no, no, she was an older lady. She was not young at all. I don't know where.
Okay.
Well, it was maybe young for Ernie.
Okay.
Yeah, she's probably.
Yeah, Ernie's a couple years older
40,
than me.
Somewhere in there.
All right. Yeah. Well, even so.
Yeah, but I don't know.
People are nicer to women than they are. Young men are nicer to women than they are to men, generally.
Yeah, if it was us, they would have been like, man up, move your tent.
Yeah, I know. Strap on your oxygen tank and move that tent. Pretend you're climbing the Himalayas, and it's time to leave base camp.
Under the sea.
Yeah.
Just have someone dangle that line above you.
Yeah. What do I have in common with someone who's in such great peak physical shape that they can climb the Himalayan mountains? We both need oxygen tanks to move things.
Yeah. You also need a Sherpa, but that's not happening, right?
Yeah. Basically, I've heard the thing about Mount Everest. Everyone's impressed that what's his name? The Gary Johnson has climbed Mount Everest twice. I mean, it's kind of impressive. Like, if I ever met him, I'd talk to that. I'd want to know about that, not about politics. But the thing about climbing Mount Everest is it's kind of gotten to the point where, like, you don't really have to be much of a mountain climber to do it. Like, you can almost pay Sherpas to carry you up there. Not quite, but it's like they go up before climbing season and, like, they put up ropes, you know, to hold on the inclines, and then they put up literally ladders for the really steep climbs. Like, you don't need, you know, to be pounding spikes into walls anymore. As a matter of fact, I don't think you're supposed to, because so many people do it, it would just make the stones crumble. So basically, you know, you pay $70,000 and you can't climb it without a lot of money, too. It costs money to climb it, and it costs money to, you know, have a team help you. But, yeah, they'll just pull you up there, basically. Basically, if you can walk, if you're healthy enough to walk, you can climb Mount Everest.
Yeah. If you can walk for a long period of time, that's pretty much
There's harder mountains to climb in America.
Yeah. Not as tall, but this one's like a tourist event anymore.
Yeah.
Which is funny, by the way, because there was a vegan who climbed this thing to prove that vegans can do anything.
And died. He die up there or die?
I don't know.
She died up there, right?
Yeah. Is she going to be the mummy now?
You know, if you die up there, you stay up there. There's like 150 bodies or 300 bodies up there. And, you know, they kind of like shuffle them out of the way and put them in little coves so you don't see them, like, so you don't trip over them, have to see them. But you see them, from what I've heard. And Davi and I did a show about that. We called it Take Nothing But Pictures, Leave Nothing But Corpses.
If I went, I wouldn't be interested in doing all that stuff. I would just want to go take some selfies with the mummies. I didn't want to go to the top. I just
Everyone wants to get to the top. The thing about the top, too, is like in climbing season, like you get about 30, like a minute up there, and then someone else goes up. Like you can't hang out, have a picnic. You'd also die having a picnic up there, but I want a Bipcot flag to go up there. Who wants to take it? Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliason. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week, we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliason. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Oh, you made it back.
Nice. Dueling cats. I have some news you can use. And that is that if you'd like a refreshing and inexpensive drink to enjoy during the summer, try ice water with about an inch of lemonade in it. You ever do that? It's really good.
I just put lemon in it.
Yeah, sugar. Same idea, but sugar easier sucks. And less messy. Oh, yeah. Sure does. Suck. Sure. Good. Sucks
I'm all
so
about
well.
That Arizona. In fact, I'm iced out right now. I'm so iced out that it's winter.
You know what I hate about Wyoming? Nothing, except the internets are retarded. So, you know how when you're moving a website from one server to the other and you change the DNS servers? You know how that goes, Jim?
Oh, it's fun, isn't it?
Yeah, and generally, it propagates around, it used to be like 24 hours. Now it's like 30 minutes. For most of the world, like if you if you Google DNS propagation tool and you put in a website that you've been moving, it'll tell you from like they have servers all around the world. They're like 100 different, like 30 different cities on every continent. You know, 30 different cities altogether, cities on every continent, servers on every continent, and it'll tell like where they're propagating. And the funny thing is like. It can be everywhere in the world usually is seeing it. Like, something weird happens with Wyoming. Like, in Wyoming, yeah, you can see it on the new site in 30 minutes. And then you start making changes and updating, on the new site. And then, like, at some point, it switches to the old IP address. And you're editing the wrong site. It's really frustrating. And the only places that happens, like, when I look at the servers on here, it's like... Afghanistan, Detroit, and Wyoming are usually like 20 hours behind the rest of the world in their internet caching, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've never been to Wyoming. Yeah. I like mind of it. No, I take that back. I've been to Yellowstone.
Yeah. That's not Wyoming. That's the federal government. I mean, it is Wyoming, but it's all... you see some Wyoming driving to it. And it is Wyoming, but it's put it this way, if you murder
it's
somebody there,
man.
And it's not that corner in Idaho, you'll be facing a federal jury.
Wasn't there a story about there being like a little area of land that's like you can murder people?
Yeah, it's BS.
Oh.
Well, it's not BS that it's questionable as to who the jurisdiction would be state-wise. However... You can't get away with murder there because the federal government rarely prosecutes people for murder. It's almost always states, but they can, and they do. It's usually just killing a federal judge or something. But no, if you lured someone to that place in Yellowstone, it's like they're not really sure if it's Montana or Idaho or Wyoming and murdered somebody. You're on federal property anyway. You could go to, be a federal trial.
We know what would end up happening. It was just Ernie Hancock would come out there and figure out what to do.
He'd ride in. He'd be one of those circuit judges from the Old West. He'd ride in
on
a
big his
duster on a horse. Yeah.
On an ATV. That's what he was riding around a Jack Fest the whole time. Just come in and be like, here's my thing. We're gonna take this guy out back and take care of him too and bury him together.
That he was talking about glamping, which I had to look up. I'd never heard the term glamorous.
I don't know
camping.
What that is.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had an awesome setup. He took the highest point of the whole entire place where you can have like this beautiful view of the whole entire valley. And you had to get like a four-wheel drive to get up the dirt road that's up there because it's so gnarly. Walking up, it was pretty gnarly. And then he had like a hot water shower. He had a tent, a full kitchen. And, you know, they even had the little pots and utensils dangling off the ceiling and stuff. It was like, come on, man.
Nice.
And he was like, if anybody can build the tent better than me, I'll give you $1,000. But you got to at least have the stuff that I have. It's like, well, we're going to go out there and build a wood oven. So when it comes pizza time, it's going to be like, you know what? It's going to cost you $1,000 for this pizza.
Well, I'm going to go do some work on the secret thing that's probably launching on Sunday, maybe. And, you know, we'll be back in about 8 minutes.
Worms. Make fun of Morgan Spurlock, too.
Spermlock, yeah. That guy. Such a Democrat redneck. Rednecks for Hillary. All right, I'm going to go. I'll be back at like 5 after. Worms. Good worming with you there, Jim. See you soon. Worms.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Of Liberty, we activate your mirror neurons with spooky sounds of a serotonin splash at a distance, secreting seditious sounds from the flaccid fiend bone of Liberty. We give you crypto chiropractic crack to strengthen your spine against the revolving wire traps of tyranny. This is the first time I'm reading this.
I can tell.
And of course, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license that allows use and reuse by anyone except governments. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org.
You know, I was wrong.
I was wrong.
I said the other night that garbage pickup from the private garbage pickup people you can use in Los Angeles County was $30 a month. I said that yesterday. It was actually $30 every 2 months. That's pretty darn cheap. So without the government, who would pick up the garbage? I guess in L.A., the people that the city lets you pick from. But they let you pick from 4 people. It's better than you must pay the city or die.
In Kansas, we had to pick from 3 people. And then our homeowner association decided, nope, it's 1.
Yeah, I hate HOAs. I went on a rant about them last night.
Yeah. The homeowners associations will be nice in a libertarian social order.
No, they wouldn't.
Only
maybe
government.
Maybe.
And
yeah,
it's have to actually sign every time they do.
Yes,
it.
Yes, because it's a social contract. It's a voluntary social contract. An HOA is a voluntary contract that can change at any time. It's more like a software contract.
It's a voluntary government.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's like for people who, you know, don't have enough government with the federal, state and local and want another level of government running their lives. So I was wrong about that. And I also want to say there was no episode 977. Someone pointed out to me of the Freedom Fiends, but that's because there was two previous episodes a couple of weeks ago that had the same number. Something messed up. And so, yes, I made up with it. So we're still at the right number of what is real now, because there isn't a big party when we get to 1,000. And, you know, the crickets at Jeremy's house speak in binary. 0010100002. Yeah. Did you know that in the CryptoNote code,
there's even a 2.
And somewhere in the CryptoNote code, there is like a number that's mostly zeros and ones, but it has a 2 in it, and there's a comment in it that says, Bender's nightmare. But the thing is, and Bender would know this, there actually is a form of binary that has zeros, ones, and 2s, and it's like something that's used in AI, and the 2 is a maybe. Do you know about this?
No.
Yeah, because
I don't know what that is.
Well,
is it pass a Turing test?
To pass a Turing test for computers to really, I mean, not in the way they used to back in the 60s, where you're typing at a terminal and, like, you know, for the first 10 answers, it seems like there's someone on the other end. But, like, I'm talking about where, like, you know, your sex bots can have extended conversations about philosophy with you and you can almost believe it or believe it. that requires a form of AI that's, it's got yeses, nos, and maybes, because people don't think in absolute yes or nos. They think they do, but they still don't. And the maybe, I mean, even example of like, you know, statists who want less government, but that's not a yes or no. It sounds like a yes absolute or a no absolute, but there's the maybe of like, well, they like more government for their thing, you know?
Are you saying that only robots think in absolutes?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that an absolute?
Yeah. Can I get Big Strong's on the blockchain? Well, a blockchain, not the blockchain, but maybe soon a blockchain.
Yeah. Yeah,
The crickets can, you know, the audio is so good on the show that we use crickets. We train them to speak to Alpha Centauri over the crickets.
I think that's what they're really interested in listening to anyway, because everybody else is talking about how they're going to vote for Trump or Hillary. And we're the only ones saying like, no, they're both terrible. They're all terrible. And then they're like, wait, hold on. Forget about the crickets. What was that? we got to go rescue these people.
Well, I also said last night that that billionaires didn't have a soul and millionaires can. And I said, there's some arbitrary cutoff. It's probably around 20 million. And actually it's around 50 million, I think, because 20 million is the new 50 million. 50 million is the new 20 million with deflation. But it's also 50 million is the point. There's a designation, a socioeconomic designation of something like the ultra rich or something, and it's like $50 million. And I just don't think you can get to that point without, you know, having a few people killed or doing something horrible with the government. Like even Elon Musk, everyone says he's such a libertarian superhero, but no, he's totally like selling carbon credits. Do you know about this? Like he's totally playing this government. I mean, not that you can't somewhat play the government game if you're that big in manufacturing, but he's a welfare whore, you know, as well.
I understand,
being a genius. Yeah,
from what I understand, like Tesla can't exist without the government. It's all subsidized to heck and back.
Yeah.
Yep. From what I understand. So,
yeah. I mean, not to say that in a libertarian paradise, he'd be, you know, living in a ditch, pushing berries up his nose. He's a really smart guy, but,
no, he'd go back to making PayPal again for
Bitcoin. Making PayPal. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. He didn't make Bitcoin. He's
no,
not.
I'm saying
are you trying to say he's Satoshi?
No, I'm saying that he would make the BitPay.
BitPay.
He didn't make BitPay either, but I'm saying like he would make PayPal for Bitcoin.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways.
Well, I think in libertarian paradise, not necessarily would all exchanges be over Bitcoin that used a commodity. I think that there would be fiat currencies, and I think there would be private fiat currencies, and I think there would be private backed, you know, made up currencies. Well, all currencies are made up, really. I mean, even two people trading, you know, berries to put up your nose for a glass of water from the well. I mean, that's making up a currency. But I think in libertarian paradise, there would be banks. They just wouldn't be as heinous as they are now, and you'd have a big choice.
In libertarian paradise, I'm very sure there's going to be large cities that will try to work out anarcho-Keynesianism, and they will be inflating their money supply, and they'll be having bus cycles.
But you'd have a choice.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You could do the Ernest Hancock. Did we talk yet about at Jackfest how people got away from the rave by just moving? We did, right?
So yeah.
So in libertarian paradise, you know, if you didn't like your neighbors, you know, there'd be conflict resolution stuff. But there's also,
you can get out.
You also could get out a lot easier. I mean, you could definitely, you know, I have an ultra minarchist saying that changing your nationality should be as easy as changing your phone company.
Mm-hmm.
And
decentralization is so important. And even if you're going to be for a state, like I can't understand the whole idea of a federal government. Well, yeah, there's some, you know, some trade things, but you know, the trade thing could be easily solved. You just said no tariffs.
Well,
just let people trade. If goods don't cross borders,
the nation state if it ever had a use, is way past its usefulness, because the nation state was based in a time when it took 3 weeks at least to get a letter across the ocean, you know, and it took 3 weeks to get a letter across America, you know, across this continent. And that kind of thing, it made a little more sense to have like an overbearing, you know, national control of all of it, you know, some kind of administration, let's say, of all of it. But the distances are so...
Did it really? Because Spooner kind of solved that problem. He competed with the government, with the post office.
And they put him out of business.
Well, they legislated him out of business. He was actually going to put them out of business because he was able to mail letters cheaper, faster. Like,
I'm not saying that...
cheaper.
I'm not saying that... the nation state is a good idea. I'm saying that it came out of a time when there wasn't instantaneous worldwide, not only communication, but shipping. You know, I mean, I'm a lowly serf. I'm not a king. I'm a lowly serf, and I could leave right now and go to the all-night FedEx place and put down some money and, you know, send a package that would be, you know, in Australia within 2 days. And, you know, would be in New York City tomorrow night. That didn't exist. And that's kind of like, put it this way, if the world had always been, like, if humans had just been plopped down in this, like, blockchain, email, FedEx kind of world, I don't think nation states would have evolved. I think some kind of, like, attempt at use of force would have evolved, but it wouldn't have been on national levels. It'd probably be, like, you know, more like Mad Max with technology. It'd be more like, what was the movie?
I know what you mean.
Yeah. I hate the cliche of anarchy, like Mad Max. No, I think more like, what's the movie with the replicants?
I don't know what that is.
It's robots that almost can pass the Turing test. You know, Rutger Hauer movie.
No.
Oh
no!
It's Blade Runner, man. You seen Blade Runner?
Oh, Blade Runner's great.
Yeah, it's like the future in that. Like, I don't know. The 70s and 80s had all these movies where like governments were replaced by like world corporations too, which is what a lot of leftists think would happen without a government.
So basically, like, too. So would my job be basically like talking to old people and trying to see whether or not they're just a malfunctioning robot or someone with Alzheimer's?
Yeah. Although I think there'd be the suicide machines like in Futurama too. You know, the booths on every street corner. Yeah.
You know, it would clear up a lot of the riffraff, I guess. Anyway.
There'd be like three screens. Like, are you really sure you want to do this? Are you positive?
Yeah, then you have to put your thumbprint and get it. You get like two forms of ID.
Yeah,
it'll be basically like a voluntary government going to the DMV to the waiting line.
Yeah,
and the sloths are working there, of course. So, in Libertarian Paradise, what would happen if someone was impersonating the cops on Face Beef?
All right, let's talk about that.
Yeah,
let's talk about this great American. Hilarious. What's this great American patriot's name?
Kidding, had it pulled off.
Good guy.
Anthony Novak, Ohio man arrested for impersonating police, offering free abortions. Which is, that's a very misleading title, because if you actually look at it, it's like, okay, clearly he was making a parody page, and it was clearly a parody page. Maybe some people wouldn't get the Poe's Law. If some Poe's Law would probably apply, that's kind of the dumb people, but. He was impersonating the cops, making jokes that he was offering free abortions, and got arrested. And I guess now something happened to him, and we'll tell you what happened.
The blockchain could solve that, because you can sign something digitally to prove you're you. A blockchain, not the blockchain.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
So I think I've boiled this down.
What?
Every ad ever, including all the ads that I've ever made.
You know, before I interrupt you, let me tell you one thing that's kind of like funny about how I'm interrupting you. Because I learned something tonight about you. And that is, what are you eating? Stop it. It's bad audio. I hear you crunching or something.
Grappling.
Unwrapping, crumbling. All right. So, stop vaping that crumble. The thing I learned about you that's interesting is that you're not on speed all the time, all day, every day. Because
I didn't even know you thought that.
That's funny. And it's kind of a compliment. One of the first conversations you and I had, it was probably like the third time we talked after I realized you were not True Shibes. And I became friends with True Shibes.
I can only dream of being that cool.
I know. True Shibes is a woman. And so you are not a woman, and you're almost as cool as True Shibes, though. But
yeah,
you're going to be the True Shibes of the next weird cryptocurrency. Like, I don't know what the name of it'll be, but it won't be
Steam Coin.
A dog. No, beyond Steam Coin. No, that's already passe. So you told me, you were talking about that when you were a kid, you were on Ritalin because you had ADD, and I have so much ADD. I'm not on anything except caffeine, but I have so much. I don't have ADD, but I have like problems paying attention, and I multitask a lot. So I was probably like editing a blog page or something while you were telling me this on Fiend Phone. Mm-hmm. And I thought you said that you were currently on Ritalin for ADD. So no. Every time you do anything, the whole time I've known you, the couple years I've known you, I have tempered it in my brain with, oh, well, yeah, of course, because he's on speed all the time from his doctor. But the fact that you're not, and I just found that out, it's kind of a compliment, because basically you just have so much energy and like spark that I thought you're on speed all the time.
Is that a compliment? You sound like you're on meth, Jim.
Yeah, because you grind you grit your teeth and your hair falls out, and you dismantle your car all night.
Picking my arms for bugs.
Yeah. The good times, but back when it was good, before it ends up like that.
Yeah. I did take Ritalin in my youth. I had a problem with taking all that stuff later on, Adderall and this stuff.
Yeah.
And it was mostly because my sister, who, you know, she's great now, but she kind of went down that meth road for a few years, and she was really into it bad. And I was like, I don't want to go down that route, even if it is, you know, medically okay, and I'm getting it through a doctor, and they're doing
it's tests not on my liver. Okay.
Yeah, it's not.
They're giving speed to kids, people.
Yeah.
It's funny because schools give speed to kids, and those are the same schools that, like, if they find you with an eighth of a quarter gram of crystal meth in your locker, they'll call the police and ruin your life. But those same schools have psychiatrists and psychologists that are, like, pushing people to get their kids on speed because it makes them more malleable for the teachers.
Yeah. I'm not one of those anti-psych people. I think there is a role for that. It just seems to be like the easy solution. And they're also, I think they get kickbacks. Don't quote me. They get kickbacks from drug companies to kind of favor doing that.
They get nice lobster dinners. That's what doctors get. They don't get cash, but they get vacations. They get flown to a convention where they're told, you know, like we're going to fly you to Miami for a week of golf, all expenses paid. Oh, and you're going to have to spend this like 1 hour, you know, hearing about our new medicine. Yeah.
And the bad part about it is that it creates this myth that ADD doesn't exist. And, you know, it ends up hurting me because it makes me like look like I can't really pay attention. Like, oh, no, you'll grow out of it. It's like, no, I can't grow out of it.
Well, you have a job.
Yeah. Yeah,
so you
have a job.
Attention.
I have a job, but
you have a job with a lot of responsibility, like with people's lives in your hand, because you're medicating people too, right?
No, I'm not.
You're not doling out. I mean, there are pills and stuff. You don't dole them out.
No. That's not my. That's
you're nurse adjacent.
Yeah,
that's none of my business.
No, but you know, it ends up hurting me because in the end, people think that I really don't have something that I need to solve, and I do have something I need to solve. I self-medicate with caffeine, high doses of caffeine, because I don't want to mess with anything meth-related. And the drug that I want to take is still
meth.
Yeah, it's still owned by the drug company, and they're charging obscene amounts of money for it. But it goes generic next year, so.
Well, it's something that's not a stimulant for ADD,
It's the only one that's not a stimulant. I think it's called Strattera. Yeah, I used to take that for a while, and they were getting marijuana makes me worse. But that was my excuse when I that was my excuse when I got my medical thing.
So you think I don't have ADD? You told me that.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, though, so I missed all this getting medicated in school by like 3 years, like 3 or 4 years after I was, in middle school, they started medicating kids. I missed that by 3 years, and in the other direction by about a year, I missed being a thalidomide baby.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
The key is in the ignition. The key is in the ignition.
This is the Freedom Fiends, where I'm too busy arguing with a guy who has ADD, trying to tell him that I probably do have ADD to do talk radio and not notice when we're out.
Probably do.
Well, here's the thing. When I was a kid, I was diagnosed as being hyperactive by the school psychiatrist, and by like every teacher agreed with me. And I've always like drummed my fingers. I'm like kicking the chair right now. It's bad audio. I should stop. But, yeah, and you're just throwing caffeine cans across the room. So
that's good.
I don't know. I don't know why you think I don't have ADD or AHHD or whatever, hard drive. What's it called? Adult onset. No, what is it?
No, that's AADD.
ADHD.
Adult ADD.
Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. I think I have that.
I don't remember what it was, but I remember you telling me something, and I was like, "Oh yeah, you don't really have it. You're just hyperactive. You're just a weirdo.
Yeah,
you just don't pay attention."
Well, I don't want to have it. I don't like want to be in the same club. I'm not saying like, "Oh, I want to be cool like Jim."
We thought we could hang out together at meetings.
We can.
Wednesday. Okay. I don't remember exactly what you said, but I remember you telling me something, and I was like, that don't sound right. I think you were just misdiagnosed, because there's a lot of misdiagnosis when it comes to ADD and ADHD.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's an easy solution. Kid, don't pay attention to school. Well, I can't be the teacher being boring. It has to be the kid.
So
we're just going to sign this off, and then that way I can definitely get my retreat in the Bahamas next week when Eli Lilly has their big event this weekend.
My good friend Eli. Yeah. So you were talking about ads, and you like, I think you finally figured out ads or something.
I figured out the formula of like 90% of all ads, including the ads that I wrote, which is
me too.
I guess.
Do you have a problem? We have the solution. Do you have a problem?
Are you tired of ads asking you if you're tired? Do you have a problem? Well, we have a solution. Solution is great. You can get solution in timely fashion. Now you have solution for next time the problem arises. And hey, this other minor problem is solved too with a built-in other solution. For free information about the solution, call 800 number. That's 800 number. Or check out our website at www.website.com. That's pretty much the vast majority of most of the ads that, and they work because that's how people kind of think too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I have this problem. I don't think about problem. But when a radio ad says, hey, you have this problem, like, oh, yeah, I was just thinking about that last week. Now, solution.
I think you're actually overanalyzing it, and or at least you're beginning from a place that is too complicated. Like, really, all it is, all radio ads are 30, 60-second radio ads, and TV ads are pretty much, do you have a problem? We have the solution. That's it. Although, yeah. Really, you could say it's a little bit more than that. I mean, that's it. Basically what it is it's like three-act format, but it's really two-act format. But there's actually kind of three-act format, too, because there's generally kind of redemption in the third act, but in a 30 or 60 second ad, it's often just telling you
free shipping.
And that name is, yeah. Here's how to contact it. The name is, let me spell it out. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin, you know, whatever. So it's, you know, like you said, it's really, it's who, how, when, where, why. It's like this, the five W's of news, who, how, yeah. When, where, why, and how much, and give us your money. But the thing is, a lot of ads create a problem that you don't necessarily have. Like a really classic one that's going back to the 40s radio ads and definitely the 50s, 60s, and 70s TV ads is like, your husband will leave you if you don't buy our product. That's basically what it came down to. Like, you know, the one I remember, they actually parodied this in the movie Airplane, which is how old this trope is.
Was I need the to coffee, go back and watch that again. That was a
yeah, really it's great. Film. It was one they could never make today. To the yeah. PCP police would destroy it.
Oh, the jive thing was brilliant.
Oh, that was great. Yeah, I speak jive. Yeah, and it's June Cleaver. That's the irony. Yeah, it's all one-liners and, you know, just kind of goofy jokes. But there's a thing in there where the waitress, the stewardess, comes by and says, would you like, anyone likes refills on their coffee? And the man's like, well, yes, I would. And you hear the woman's thought, like, kind of reverberating in her head, like, he never asked for a second cup of coffee at home. And that was a TV ad. It was for Sanka yeah. or something, you know? Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, if you don't get Sanka, you're a bad wife, is what that's saying. There's a yeah, Dead Kennedy song I really love called Trust Your Mechanic. You ever heard it? It's yeah, basically I've heard three
I've heard
act
every,
format.
I've heard of
it's well I've heard the all audience. Their songs. I'm saying to you, have you heard it? So I can tell it to the audience. So it's basically three stanzas, I think, and it's like, trust your mechanic to make things to fix your car. You see an awful lot of him lately. He tightens and loosens a few spare parts. One thing's fixed, another falls apart. That's the first line. The second stanza is about TV ads. Like, it's something like, you know, never look right again unless you grease your skin, got you coming back for more again and again and again, gonna rip you off. And that's the chorus on all of them, is got you coming back for more and more again and again and again, gonna rip you off. And the last one is trust your psychiatrist or your shrink to make you well. You see an awful lot of him now. Right when you hit your neurosis roots, he confuses you, messes your head up worse, got you coming back for more, you know, again and again and again and again, gonna rip you off. So it's basically about professionals that, you know, should be just doing a service but turn into, you know, an addiction because they screw up as much or more than they fix, which yeah. happens.
That yeah. kind of sounds like Steam It. Did you hear about Steam It?
I'm so bored of Steam It that I don't even want to talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
You can. I'm just going
to
work
on it. No. I'm so dumb. What a garbage thing. No, but
yeah.
Yeah, the whole overdrugging of kids.
Price is going down. Horrible. Steam It is falling. Look yeah. at the Steam It charts, by the way.
Is
it's
it?
Falling what like a it? Rock.
You are doing visual humor on the radio, so you better.
Yeah, I'll just leave it at that. Google it, people. I have the documents. If you want them, Google it. Steam it sales charts or steam it valuation.
Yeah. We're looking for... Anyway, so...
So, ads. Like, basically an ad, a good ad, is kind of like a little play. Like, that's another thing, too, that was a real cliche back in the day, and they actually make fun of it on The Simpsons, is the one where it's like a husband and wife, or a man and a woman, like, yammering back and forth about the problem. You know, like, oh, have you heard? No, I haven't heard. I have that problem. Or, you know, two. There's actually a Simpsons on that, where Homer goes to pay someone to write an ad, a jingle for his product. And the guy, Homer's like, are you any good? And he's like, you know those radio ads where you have a man and a woman yammering back and forth? And Homer's like, yeah. And he's like, I invented those. And Homer punches the guy. And he's like, yeah, I get that a lot. I wish I invented that.
I think the skit ones are pretty funny, especially ones from the 60s. And I remember the ones you were talking about. But I saw one that were way more extreme in the 60s, where like they were saying like, oh, I'm gonna divorce you, like your coffee's so bad it can kill me, and like spitting it out and dumping their coffee, like just like, wow, this was a thing back in the 60s.
You know, I'm wondering too if like I could imagine like Gen X-y, like, you know, like 10 years ago or 8 years ago, that there could have been ads that were, and probably were, but I didn't see them, that were like a takeoff on those older ones that would be like, you know, I'm going to divorce you and take your children and kill you if you don't make better, like really making fun of those hard with like scary stuff, you know, like mean stuff. But does that kind of humor even work anymore? Like, I would imagine that that's getting like politically corrected out to where like you couldn't even have an ad that would be that edgy in America.
Nah, I think that kind of that thing is kind of falling out of favor. The PC thing. It happened in the 90s too. There was a big swing to get everybody to stop to be more PC, and then there was a big backlash against it. And then the 2000s were, you know, kind of edgelordy, and then it kind of came back, and now it's kind of going away again. That's why we have someone like Donald Trump running for president, because everybody hates PC culture. And you know, they did a whole season of South Park, you know, about it, which was brilliant, by the way.
You know why Hillary's running for president? I know.
Because anybody else who would get in her way is dead.
No, because well, there's maybe that, but no, because it's what she was promised as her reward for not leaving Bill over Monica and over you know, going to Rape Island all the time.
By the way, have you seen Monica now? She's pretty.
I'd hit it.
She's pretty milky. Yeah.
I would have hit it back then, but I'd hit it.
Yeah. She was a little bit more cushioned back then, but.
Have you seen this? There's an awesome Twitter account I want to recommend. It's called like the word you can't say on radio that rhymes with city and starts with an SH. It's that and then future. Google that or look for that on Twitter.
You mean city future?
But no, not city with a. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the radio friendly version. No. Yeah, what is this?
It's all like pictures. Okay, if you Google the word that I'm talking about, and in future and in Twitter, it's the first thing that comes up, and it's twitter.com/that_future, and it's a fairly new account, but it's great. I looked through the whole thing the other day. It's all pictures and videos of like robots and AI and things gone bad, like modern stuff. Like I'm looking at it right now. Like here's a picture of a guy taking a selfie with himself and like some venomous snake about an inch, you know, 3 inches from his head. there's one of them, and they're not all horrible. Some of them are really funny. And one of them was there's a couple of them that are like what I called I'd hit it bots, like where someone's taking a drill and put some kind of like finger type thing on it, and they've got it like hitting on it, like yes, like swiping left or right, whatever it is on, what's that dating site? You know,
it used to be Tinder. Hot or Not, but now it's Tinder. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what inspired it. Did they ever sue Hot or Not, or Hot or Not ever sue them? I mean,
I don't know.
But
it was supposed to be the straight grinder, but it didn't work out because people don't like to hook up. But we've learned that I'm not interested in hooking up means I'm interested in hooking up.
Yeah. Well, this one is actually,
I just don't want to talk.
It's actually like this, somebody made, like, there's a bunch of low res bots, like two or three on there, where someone has taken a drill and like made something that just swipes yes over and over and over on every girl. And it's a video of that happening with someone's phone. But, you know, then there's a lot of like, oh, I don't know, like sex bots gone wrong, and some things from the 50s, but a lot of stuff from now. It's pretty good.
Yeah,
it's pretty.
By the way, have you seen the new CNN
here's one
show?
Here's one.
By Morgan Spurlock.
Here's one. It's this is a Craigslist ad from Malibu, California. It's come do. Can't say it on radio. Come F my robot, women for man. Hi, I'm an engineer who's built an AI with a badge. I need someone to come do my robot and let me watch. I can't do
You're
it.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Follow it. You know what I wouldn't follow is Morgan Spurlock.
Jim, before you go to Morgan Spurlock, did you like City Walk Future?
Yes.
We're gonna link it. I thought you'd love it. You should look through it all. It's only.
I just saw the first picture and it was brilliant. The Pokemon Go thing.
Yeah, I mean, you can look through all of it deeply in a half hour. It's pretty new. So Morgan Spurlock, yeah, he's a faux redneck. He's a social justice warrior filmmaker. He's kind of like the new Michael Moore. I mean, he kind of had a
but
great
not
idea.
As funny.
With, you know, yeah. With the he does skits. He does life skits. Like he did that 30 days thing where he ate nothing but McDonald's for 30 days and nearly died.
Yeah, but that was all kind of garbage. Because
yeah,
he was eating the amount of calories he was eating every day would not be something like if you and I ate at McDonald's every day, we would not be consuming that many calories. Like he was gorging himself, like not only getting the supersized thing.
He wasn't getting the salads either much.
Yeah, well, he had to eat everything on the menu, but he was also like the only way he could achieve that is if he was getting not only meals but like multiple things on top of it, including like, you know, the getting a bunch of snack pies and all that other stuff on top of it. Like,
yeah.
And he won't release his food logs. There was another guy who made a documentary where he
released the food logs.
Yeah,
he made the food logs.
He ate McDonald's for 30 days and lost weight, and he was just like, I'm just not being an idiot about it. And when asked me if I want to supersize it, I know how to say no.
Yeah, it was called Supersize Me. And then he had that TV show where he would like live with a Muslim for 30 days or live with a transgender or something for 30 days and
an atheist in a Christian household and vice versa.
Yeah.
But he has a new show on CNN and it's horrible. And I got to see it kind of on and off while I was at work the other day. And it was basically like everything in your house is going to kill you. Your iPhone is going to microwave your brain to death. And all of it was just nonsense. Like, oh, you know, there's plastics and plastics have like this chemical and it could lead to emasculation. Yeah, well, in high doses, I don't think your kids are going to be eating the toy. And then like the radiation coming from your phone is, you know, microwaves. But it's like they don't mention that, oh, the microwave waves are small enough that they can't knock off photons, which cause cancer. That's what causes cancer with microwaves. That kind of, and your phone doesn't do that because the waves are too big.
I liked his movie, The Greatest Movie Ever Sold. Do you ever see that?
No.
Except it's a movie he did about the advertising world. And basically, the kind of like the skit he's doing in the movie is trying to sell the movie while he's making it and trying to get a sponsor for it. There's really funny stuff in it, but then like he kind of gets to his conclusion and he's talking about, I forget, it might even be Venezuela, it's some Middle Eastern, some South American country that, you know, like 8 years ago or 6 years ago when this film was made, had outlawed outdoor advertising. And he was showing it as a paradise of how things should be. Like, he's basically saying that, you know, the punchline of this movie is we should outlaw advertising and make it illegal. Whereas I think in my ideal world, there'd probably be advertising everywhere. Yeah. But, you know, except private
property.
I'm all right with that. But I kind of think it is Venezuela, maybe. That's kind of scary. Like, how's that working out for you, Morgan?
I love how you can always go back and find all these people going like, oh, Venezuela is so awesome. There's a communist YouTuber, and when that whole thing was going down with Venezuela, I looked at his press videos, and he had a video where he was praising the economy of Venezuela. Like, oh, it's brilliant. Like, they've gotten all these people out of poverty. He's like, how's it been working now? You know, I don't think anybody's seen it in that long because, you know, whatever. Anyways, but... Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Morgan Spurlock. I went and saw Super Size Me in the theater when it came out because I was still a liberal. And I had seen a couple of responses to it. And I was kind of like, okay, well, forget this guy. This guy's a moron. And he's deliberately dishonest. And it's not kind of like Michael Moore where you can kind of say, oh, yeah, he's probably doing that for comedic effect. No, he's doing this deliberately because it's not funny. It's not supposed to be funny. You know, there's no wiggle room around it. At least Michael Moore he'll make a joke about it so we can fall back on that. Oh, yeah, I was lying just for comedic value. Oh, I know you couldn't get a gun inside of a bank, but, you know, we just did that because for
you can get a value. I know a grandma, 68-year-old grandma here who goes to the bank open carrying a revolver, a loaded revolver. So you can get a gun into a bank legally somewhere, but in a small town in Wyoming where they know you at the bank only, probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Good show.
Good show.
The redemption is don't pay no mind to Morgan Spurlock. Or Morgan, or Michael.
And his ilk. Yeah.
His ilk.
Those guys probably make sweet, sweet love together. They're so of the same cloth.
Yeah.
I wouldn't like to see that, actually. All right, worms.
Big nice, y'all.
Worms.